Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
Well, let me tell you the good news in the message of the bad. The bad wouldn't be screaming so loudly if the kingdom and the sons and daughters of the king haven't already arisen. Because hear me clearly, demonic forces only manifest when something greater than them has come onto the scene. But we get confused by what we hear and by what we see, as though that has some force of power that we have to cower back to. This is a lie. When really they're screaming because we have way too much power and we have showed up and now we're linking hands and now the sound is coming from our families and our cities and our states, our provinces, our nations, and it's hollering, the children of the king have come. And those demon forces are saying, no, now we're going to get really loud over media and start hunkering down and start putting chains on. But guess what? They're only trying to do that through words and trying to write things to do, but they don't have the power. We have the power. We have the power. And the power's already been activated. So what we need to do is we need to now step into the position with confidence and begin to ask God, what can we do individually in our churches, in our cities, you know, our nations, whatever? What can we do? And most of the time, it's not a whole lot that you got to do. Don't get yourself all like, oh my God, I got to go do this. I got to do. No, you just got to pray, fast, stand, seek his heart, get in that place with him, and then when it's time to do what's right, you got to do what's right. You got to just do what's right, no matter how hard it is. Now, what I believe the message is for this year that is going to distinguish us from the other forces that are trying to hold us into bondage in our nations is this one thing. See, the kingdom is classified as different through how it carries purity. See, no demon force can enter in and kill, steal, and destroy that which is pure. That which is holy and righteous, when that purity and holiness and righteousness comes on the scene, any scene, every demon force must flee. It cannot stand. So what will make the kingdom different than every other kingdom in the earth is that when we become the purified vessels of God, when we learn to do what is right, righteousness and holiness, and when we are standing, and when we are saying no to specific temptations and things of that sort, we become stronger and stronger. When we represent goodness and mercy and love and these types of things, compassion, okay? They're representative of who Jesus is. However, not compassion, and Jesus never gave compassion that let the enemy in. There's a difference. There's a difference between being compassionate and being one that that is seeing something in pain and going to take care of that versus one that gets so involved in it that you get entangled, wrapped up in an enemy scheme and then taken down with it. Jesus saw his had compassion on the multitudes. He had compassion, but his compassion was a righteous compassion. Oh, you're coming up to take the microphone.
No, just real quick, because you just said that, and it triggered in me something you know.
Yeah.
I just like this saying that I want to say, if you've heard it before, if not, I think this will register with you. Misplaced compassion is complicity with the devil.
Yeah, and that is exactly what I said. Yeah. And I think that is something that we have to really look at. It's necessary for us to be compassionate, but don't make yourself a target to be taken down with it. Nor make your families a target to be taken down with it. Because you see, Satan knows that the people of God are very compassionate, and he knows that that's one side that we bring to the table, is we're always going to be there. We're always going to be the first on the scene and the first here and there. But when our compassion opens up a door for him to come in and stronghold us, then we got to find out what's on the inside of us that needs to be closed so that we don't become one taken out at the party, right? See, Jesus knew that. So there are so many things that have to be balanced here. But when I see the ends here in 2024 with the government, I see forces that are riding on white horses, and they represent the pure kingdom. And that every dark horse that we're coming up against will be trampled, because what fuels a dark horse does not fuel a pure horse. Purebreds eat differently than dark horses. You see what I'm saying? Right? And you know, it's funny, but when it comes out of my mouth prophetically, it kind of reminds me of some kind of crazy movie. It's like, you know, you could build some crazy movie scene off of this. Like, what are the dark horses eating and what are the pure horses eating, right? And there's so many different references in the Bible of different kinds of tribes or different kinds of groups and things that they were consuming, you know, and where they actually stood and what they actually saw. What did they see and what did they hear? And this is what I want to share with you right now, just briefly here before we close, because I want you to be thinking about some things before you come back tomorrow, because we're going to teach some very, very intense things about breaking strongholds of lack, strongholds of poverty. I also have a prophetic word for South Africa that God gave me. It's a very, very weighty word, and it's a remarkable word, but it's a weighty word, and I do want to share that. If I don't get to share it tonight, I will share that. I will share it tomorrow, because it's very, very beautiful. But what we're trying to do is setting you up for where God is taking South Africa and the nations as far as this kingdom arising. Now, you got to have right sight and right hearing. Now, let me tell you how we see and how God wants us to see. There's two different ways to see things, okay? And this is very, very, very easy to understand. All right, so we see, all right, and in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord says that seeing they may see and hearing they may hear, lest they might see and perceive or hear and understand, and that they may be saved and their sins might be forgiven. So Jesus is showing us specifically in the parables that there's two different ways to see. There's two different ways to hear, right? So I want to help you understand the differences between the two sides. So when we talk about what are we seeing today with all of this darkness and the heaviness and the lies and the media and all this craziness that's happening, is we're seeing in the natural, okay? And he makes reference to that in Matthew chapter 13. Yeah, that seeing they may see, that very first word see in the natural is the word bleepo. I want you to say that, bleepo. Say it again, bleepo. It's a Greek word, okay? And it means to see quick, fast images. You ever been on TikTok? Ding, 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 ding. And you don't usually stop until something grabs you, right? Otherwise, you can just keep on going, right? So he said, seeing they may see, lest they perceive. That word perceive is the word eido. Now say eido. I do. E-I-D-O. E-I-D-O is eido, or I do. It's like you made a covenant with someone. So the perception that the kingdom dwellers, the sons and daughters of the king, are to have when they look out, is they are to have the perception of covenant. That they are perceiving things from a spiritual sight or a covenant sight, as in relationship with the Lord. So one is our natural blepo, born into the earth, okay? We're just born into the earth. That's how we're going to see, is blepo. Quick, fast images. Some may touch us, some may not touch us, but it's kind of a mindless way of seeing things. But once we become born again and our sins are forgiven, we should move to a place of perception, which is covenant, all right? Then he says, hearing they may hear. The first word of hearing in the natural, or when we're born into the earth, we hear akuhu, okay? It actually means white noise. White noise. Ever turn on your TV and then all of a sudden, like, the image goes off and then all you hear is the white noise, right? I know my daughter, I have two little grandbabies, and my daughter has like some kind of, I didn't have this when she was little, so some kind of like little egg machine, and it like sits next to the baby's bed and it turns all these different colors and it makes this terribly annoying sound that I have no idea how our granddaughters can sleep to that. It is white noise completely, yet it puts them out in like a second, but to me it is annoying, right? But that's because I've moved from a akuhu, which is white noise, to a place of suni eime, which means to understand. It's also one of those words that means a covenant relationship has been made with the Lord. Now I'm going to understand as God understands, okay? So there's two different forms of seeing and two different forms of hearing. Why is this important? Because every single day you're going to be challenged as to whether or not you're going to see in the natural or you're going to see in the spiritual. Are you going to hear in the natural or are you going to hear in the spiritual? And some of the stuff that Adam and I are just coming into this house, you know, Dr. Francois, he's probably already all taught you all this stuff. I've heard some of his sermons. He's amazing, okay? So he's already been teaching you these kinds of things. But I'm just here linking arms, Adam and I are, with South Africa and maybe saying it a little differently and letting you know what's happening in another nation or other nations that I've been visiting so you can know what's going on around the world when it comes to kingdom. Because, again, sometimes it's important to know there are more of us that more of us than there are of them, right? We just need somebody to say that. So let me tell you one more thing about seeing. So in Luke chapter 9, you all know this scripture, mature, those of you who are mature, or, you know, even if you are not mature in your faith, you have heard this parable for sure, because it's in about every children's Bible story book. But Jesus came to do the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And the word tells us that when he saw the multitudes, right, he had compassion on them. But actually that word multitude in the Greek means he saw the sick, the diseased, the lame, the weak. It means that's what he saw. Can you hear me? It says that Yeshua saw the multitudes. Then he said, well, give them something to eat. And he spoke to his disciples, and they say, hey, we can't feed them. We don't have anything. And Jesus said, listen, and listen, that's a whole other sermon in and of itself. But nonetheless, Jesus says, listen, go get me something and bring it back to me. So they bring back, and we all know, a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus stands there with just very, very tiny fragmented pieces of provision, and he asks 5,000 people to feed. Now, he just saw the multitudes. But the word says, in order for the miracle to be done, that he had to look up to heaven and he had to take the fragments and he had to say, blessed or prosper. And then the overflow came, right? And he was able to feed the 5,000. Well, now listen to me. So the word looked up. Okay, he had to look up. In other words, he had to change his sight. Now, how do I know this? Because when he says look up, that's the Greek word anablepo, which means no blepo. That's what that means. The our Lord and Savior had to look up to Anna Bleepo and recover his sight. Now, I need you to hear me out. Our Messiah had to recover his sight. Okay, now I can understand me having to recover my sight. But how does Yeshua have to recover his sight? When Yeshua saw the multitudes and he had compassion, even he was drawn in to the lack for only a moment. But it was enough that he knew if he didn't shift himself back up, the miracle would not come. I'm preaching to somebody right now. That if you keep looking down, even seeing what needs to be fixed, and you do not recover your sight, you will just get sucked into that thing, and you will not be the good that you need to be in the moment. And the very thing that you want to see happen with that miracle is not going to come to pass. Until you center yourself and look up and Anna Bleepo, recover your sight, and then bless whatever that mess is, whatever them fragments are, and watch God bring the overflow. Watch God bring the increase. That's right. So this is very important to know, because every day we have a choice of Bleepo or Anna Bleepo or Ido Covenant. They're two separate words, but they mean almost the exact same thing. When miracles were done all throughout the various parables, and Jesus, people would say, Jesus, I want my sight. Jesus, I want to see. Or he would say, do you want to see? Whatever the dialogue was, that was the word, Anna Bleepo. Do you want to recover your sight? First, it meant spiritual. Second, it meant natural. Now, do you know you could live in the realms of the Anna Bleepo and the Ido all the time? Because Jesus did. How do I know that he did? It's as simple as Luke chapter 9. Because he had to recover his sight, which means that was his sight. That was the place he lived in all the time when he tread and everywhere he walked. He lived there and he tried to teach the disciples, live here, live in the fellowship, live in the relationship with the Father, live in this place of intimacy. You will see things entirely different. You'll be able to do signs, miracles, and wonders. I want you to live here and not here. But even himself, in that moment, took his eyes off of that place to look down. Why? He was 100% God and 100% man. He had flesh just like we have it. And he felt for that moment what we feel when we come into that place. Right? We also know, okay, the fragmented pieces, the 5 loaves of bread, the 2 fish, you know, all of that from a symbolic standpoint. His body was broken that now we might see. All of those are true things from those scriptures too as well. But I think the important thing is that in the here and now we talk about kingdom arising. We've got to shift ourselves to live up here first. In our souls and our spirits, even though your body treads the earth and everywhere your feet tread, you will take the land and miracles will be done, your spirit and your soul have to maintain this position of living with him. It's a position of rest and peace and joy. It is a position where you know God's got it even when you don't have it. Right? And Jesus relied on that. He relied on the fact that God had the situation even when he wasn't sure whether or not he had it. But he knew he could go there to that place. And he instilled by faith that in the disciples that we know did amazing miracles in the earth and then passed that knowledge down, right? And so we're living in that today. But when pressures come and difficulties happen and grief comes in and sin and temptations and death and these kinds of things, we can easily become so wrapped up in this place. And as Dr. Adam was saying, we forget who we are. We have to recover our sight. Whew. Now, when we talk about learning these kinds of things, I've written a bunch of books on this very thing. I think there's no more back there. I'm so sorry because I like brought 80 books to the nation because I carried them across the Atlantic. But you can get all my books here. Coom Books, Strike Media, Amazon, they're all on there. But one of the books is Heavenly Portals. It talks about how eternity impacts your past, present, and future. But it teaches you how to live from this place. And listen, living from that place is the covenant place that Jesus' blood bought back for us that we might now live in the Garden of Eden. You know, it's really great because a couple days ago we were on the garden route. And I saw a sign that said the Garden of Eden. And I was like, goodness, take me there. I was like, can we just camp right there? We don't have to leave, right? It was beautiful. You all know your garden route. But Jesus bought back for us the garden. And so now our job is to live in that place of rest and peace and joy. But if the kingdom is so confounded and confused and unsure of its identity, then it won't be able to stand in those places that Jesus already redeemed for us. It's not that it hasn't already been done. It's how do we apply it? How do we make it work? And so this is our test in 2024. Our test is, are we going to stand in the kingdom, declare the victory, live in the places of rest and peace and wholeness and holiness and purity and righteousness, declaring and decreeing what is right and true and good and merciful, what Jesus would be doing in the earth? Are we going to do that, or are we going to shrink back and become overwhelmed with the tsunami of darkness that is simply lying to us on an everyday basis? These are choices that we have to make. And if the kingdom can hold one another accountable, or nations can hold one another accountable to stand for the kingdom, we could all shift ourselves into living in that place and even having righteous earthly governments. Right? Before the year 6000 happens, and you might say, well, Candace, I thought we're in, 2024. That's only on the Gregorian calendar. We're in year 5784 on the Hebrew calendar. So in one of my books, the new one that just got released, 365 Prophetic Revelations from the Hebrew Calendar, I teach you about the revelation of the ages. And we have 216 years before we enter the year 6000. It's considered to be a new age, and that's not the word new age as in counterfeit God or something, okay? I mean, it's a new age in according to Scripture, because Scripture's ages are based on 1,000 years or 2,000 years. We're going to step into a new age called the 6,000 point. Every 500 years prior to a new age is what's called transition. And it's a transitionary movement that all of the cultures of the earth go to. Anything that falls into the 500 range, and we're at 216, okay, which means we have like 260 some left till we get to 6,000, means that all those who live in the transitionary 500 become the transitionary prophets that usher in the new age, right? This means that all of us today, no matter how uncomfortable you are, you are born in this time. You were born to be a transitionary prophet. What I mean by that, it doesn't mean that you're called to the office of prophet. It means that we are the people of God, and so prophecy is a way that we declare and decree the voice of God in the earth, right? Where the spirit of prophecy is, we're testifying to Jesus. So he calls us a prophetic people. So what we are called to do is to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Just like John the Baptist, right? And more now than ever, because we're coming up on a kingdom age of 6,000. We won't see it. Our kids won't see it. Our great-grandkids will see it. But what we teach them today makes all the difference. If we don't teach our children and our children's children the legacy that they are transitioning the entire earth to the return of the King, and there are specific things that have to take place during these transitionary times, and one of those is the kingdom physically arising and taking its proper position. And in 2024, we're being challenged by God to step up and be who it is we really are. He's saying, stop talking about who you are and start being who you are. He says, you're talking a lot and you're putting it out there a lot, and that's a good thing, but I need you to physically be in this game. I need you to physically link arms. I need you to physically say no to certain things. I need you to physically stand up. I need you to physically run for office. I need you to physically do what you need to do to make the difference as a righteous member of my kingdom. Because I am coming back. But I am not coming back for a world in disarray. I know that we've been taught, oh, he's going to show up and he's going to fix it all. But didn't he already fix it more than 2,000 years ago? That's what I read. I read it's been done and redeemed. I read it's been finished. And because the power of what's been finished has been given to me and to my family and to the generations behind me, my job is to stand up and say, it's finished. And he said it's finished. That's my job. And if I don't do that, then I'm failing. And why would I not do that? I would not do that because I'm fearful, because I shrink back, because you demon looks greater than me, because you media or you government or you this or you that looks greater than me. So I think I'm going to shrink back. And the Lord says, don't shrink back from what I've already done. Because that means you don't believe me. It means you don't believe enough of what I've already done, which means we've got to go back to the beginning and find out, what did he do exactly? And how does that empower us to keep moving? And so we go back. Yes.
Have you been blessed by the Glory Road experience? Dr. Candace would love to be able to connect with you, as she does with all of her covenant partners in a special way. This covenant connection is called the Glory Road Community. By joining this connection group, you will be able to be empowered, enlightened, and spiritually coached by Dr. Smithyman in a more personal way. Go to register today at www.gloryroadcommunity.com.
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smithyman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.